Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on list.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
6:01 on a Monday night. Joe Giglio with you. Sports Radio 94 WIP. Tucker Bagley behind the glass. We have Rob Cherry in the update. You guys with us. 888-729-9494. #949. For that's how you hop in. We have 4 hours tonight, a four-hour show on this Monday after divisional round of the playoffs, a round that, look, I know many of us thought the Eagles could be in and maybe would have been in if Carson Wentz didn't get hurt. It hurt to watch yesterday without the Eagles in there because I think when this year started, it would have been hard to imagine the Eagles not in this round of the playoffs. I was rooting like heck, though, for Andy Reid yesterday. We'll get to that because I can't believe anybody out there doesn't root for Andy Reid at this point. I want to start with the Eagles and kind of in the context of what we watched yesterday. We'll get to a lot. Sixers process pregame coming up before their game in Indiana. A big hot stove check-in later on, including major baseball news, potentially a Nolan Arenado trade going down soon. I hope the Phillies are at least involved in some capacity. And the Houston Astros penalized in a significant way for the science thing. But I want to start with this. So I'm watching the games this weekend, and look, it wasn't a great weekend of football. You know, the games in general were not as compelling as the week before with all the one-score games. But some themes emerged that I couldn't ignore. And, when the playoffs started, I don't think many of us thought the Eagles would make the Super Bowl. But I did believe the Eagles, if they got past the Seahawks, could make a run here. Because I didn't believe the top of the NFC was either great or battle-tested. You know, they're good. San Francisco was really good. But I didn't think they were great or battle test. And I thought the Eagles, if they just got themselves through that first round game against Seattle, they could find a way to make a run again the way they did last year and obviously 2 years ago all the way to the Super Bowl. But here's where I said after watching the games. I don't think the Eagles are very far away from what we watched this weekend. I really don't believe that. Think about the four teams that made it out of the divisional round are now going to championship Sunday. The Tennessee Titans were 9-7. They were 9-7. Ryan Tannehill, their quarterback, comeback player of the year, had the kind of season that out of nowhere had the best pass rating in the league. They're winning with good game plans. They're winning with defense. They're winning running the football. They're not winning with overwhelming talent. Now, Derrick Henry is a special back, but they're not winning with overwhelming talent. The Kansas City Chiefs, Andy Reid, incredible comeback yesterday. What are they winning with? They're winning with the Andy Reid offense, which is what the Eagles run here, a derivative of it with Doug Peterson. Now, their quarterback is special, and Carson Wentz is not in that league. But they're winning with throwing the football, and they're winning with the kind of offense, stylistically, the Eagles use. So the AFC, you have one team that is winning with the same style of offense, though some better pieces. And you have one team that was 9-7 and made a run. And you go to the NFC. San Francisco has the formula the Eagles had 2 years ago. Their defensive line dominates games. They win up front. Their quarterback sometimes asked to do a lot, sometimes not. Makes big plays. They trust them. But their running game and their pass rush win them the games. That's why San Francisco is so good. They remind me of the Eagles 2 years ago. And the Green Bay Packers, quite frankly, aren't even that good. The Eagles went in there and won this year. The only team to win in Green Bay this season are the Philadelphia Eagles. So I'm watching, and I was waiting to have something knock me over and say, you know what? I was waiting for something to say, Joe, this is confirmation that the Eagles aren't close. Like, they need to step back and retool. And I didn't get that confirmation this week. I was watching all the games, and I'm waiting for something to tell me the Philadelphia Eagles need to take a big step back this offseason, retool, get younger the way Howie Roseman said, and then in a year or two, come back and try to put their heads back in this thing. I don't feel that way. I don't think the Eagles are far off from the teams we watched this weekend. 888-729-9494. And here's the thing for me. I think the Eagles have the elements that some of these teams you watch this weekend win have. They have good coaching, which the Tennessee Titans are probably the best coaching you're watching in the postseason. That team is not overwhelming. That is coaching right now, taking advantage of whatever matchups they have. And they have a group here that has one more window. And the way I feel about this, the NFL right now, is this. The Eagles have a window, probably one more year with this group before it really starts to age and they really have to turn it over. I don't want to waste a year of the window by going into this offseason and Howie Roseman saying, we have to retool. Because the best teams in pro football don't really do that. The best teams can find a way to get a little bit younger, but also hit in the draft and get impact players. Take the Seattle Seahawks who played yesterday, and were in that game until the end. A couple years ago, Seattle had fallen down to the point of, you know, they were missing the playoffs. 9-7. They weren't an overwhelming team. And then you know what they did? They drafted well, really, really well the last 2 years. And they turned that offense over. And they have DK Metcalf. And they have some good backs. And all of a sudden, last year they make the playoffs. This year they go to the second round after winning here. They didn't take, you know, the Seahawks with Russell Wilson didn't take a major step back when they had to retool. They did change their team around. And obviously the Eagles over the next couple of years have to change this team around. It's an older team. But there's rebuilding. And there is going for it. And I believe the Eagles are in a spot right now where I would rather go for it. When this offseason really gets underway, Howie Roseman and the Eagles have to make a decision. Are we in this? Are we trying to win a Super Bowl next year? Or are we not? And for the Philadelphia Eagles, after watching these four games, after watching the postseason so far, I believe they should still push to win now and in 2020. 888-729-9494. So there's one other aspect to this that I find significant when trying to figure out the path the Eagles should take. And that is Carson Wentz. The kind of player he is right now, which is a good quarterback, not a great one, but how much money he makes and will make. If you look at the way the Eagles structured Carson Wentz's deal, they have one more year, one, where Carson Wentz makes below average quarterback money. I believe the Eagles are on the hook for about $18 million next year in the salary cap for Carson Wentz, which, regardless of what you think of him, if you're more like me and think he's a good quarterback but not a great one, or you think he's blah, 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 MVP elite, whatever you think of Carson Wentz, that he's underpaid next year because he's a good quarterback making below average salary. Or if you think he's great, well, then you think it's a big bargain. But regardless, he's making about $18 million next year, while some of the top quarterbacks are going to make in the 25, 30, you know, Garoppolo's upper 20s, Cousins' upper 20s. And obviously some guys are in the 30s and who knows where Mahomes and will get when he gets his deal. But there are some guys next year making a whole lot more money than Carson Wentz. And the Eagles have an advantage next year, and we're still not paying the quarterback position a lot of money. That starts to evaporate in 2021 when they have to pay Carson Wentz in the 30s. Then he better play at an elite level because they're paying him at an elite level. But for next year, I'm not wasting the last year where Carson Wentz is relatively cheap. Elliot Shore Parks wrote an article this week at 94WIP.com on the Eagles' cap salary, you know, the cap room situation. Howie Roseman could have some of the most cap room he's ever had to work with in an offseason this offseason. Depending on what they do with different guys, we're looking at $34 to maybe close to $50 million. So I watched four teams play this weekend. I don't believe any are great. There's some good teams. San Francisco's really good, and Kansas City's really good. You have a 9-7 team. You have a team getting there with coaching. You have a team right now in their window to win. I don't want to waste what could be the last year of that next year in 2020. And you still have a relatively cheap quarterback. 888-729-9494. After watching the games this weekend, where do your feelings lie on this? Do you want to retool and say, yeah, they're not close to those teams? Or do you want to go for it in 2020? I want to go for it. I want to add to this team. You have to add smart. I'm not adding 35-year-olds, but I want to add to this team. If they hit on a couple draft picks, I think the Eagles could be playing at this time next year. 888-729-9494. Tucker, what are you feeling here?
The Eagles had a lot of bad luck this year. They had a lot of injuries. They had a lot of issues that kind of hindered them. They lost a lot of games they should have won.
Yep.
However, moving forward into 2020, they have a lot of hurdles they need to clear if they want to become an elite team again. They're probably going to lose about 10 or 11 starters from opening day this year, which is a lot. You mentioned their cap space. Even with that huge number, that $30 to $45 million, depending on where you look, that ranks them between 17th and 21st. It's not like they have a ton of money relative to the rest of the league. They have a lot of holes they need to fill and not much to do it. And in Howie Roseman's track record, he's had one great offseason.
2017.
In 2017, where every move he made worked. And since then, he's mentioned he's tried to exploit the older end of the market, trying to get older veteran players to fill in the holes. That didn't work this year. They've gotten hurt. He struggled at identifying younger players through the draft. The Eagles have a lot of issues with this team moving forward, and it's possible that they can figure things out. Howie Roseman can have another perfect offseason.
But you want to retool.
But I want to rebuild. I don't want to retool. I want to rebuild. Because the fact of the matter is, for this team to be the best it can be, it needs to maximize this Carson Wentz's prime, which may not be next year, maybe 2 years down the line, 3-4 years down the line. The Eagles' best chances of winning a Super Bowl with Carson Wentz will probably be around 2021 through 2025.
Well, that's interesting. So you want to rebuild this thing. I want to keep it upright, and I want to add to it. I'll throw this in about Carson, then we'll take your calls. 888-729-9494. This is the first offseason in years where Carson Wentz goes in fully healthy, not rehabbing anything. I have a healthy Carson Wentz and still a relatively cheap Carson Wentz. I'm not wasting this little window they have here. I'm not wasting it. And as far as what Carson's career will look like, I don't know. I don't know if he's going to remain durable. I don't know if he's ever going to be elite again to justify the money he's going to make in 2 years. What I have in 2020 right now is a good quarterback, a currently healthy quarterback, a quarterback that is cheap by quarterback standards. That's an advantage. I am not leaving that on the table and saying, we'll kind of restock the shelves and we'll go back at it in 2021, 2022. No, I believe the Eagles are good enough with a good offseason. That means a couple of impact signings. And it means hitting their first couple draft picks with guys that can play in 2020 that they could be right here in Final Four next year. 888-729-9494. Look, you watched all the games this weekend. They weren't great, but you're probably doing what I was doing, thinking about the Eagles in the context of this. When you watch the games this weekend, do you feel like the Eagles are far away, need to rebuild like Tucker thinks? Or are you with me on this, that they need to go for it, that they're not that far off from the eight teams we watched play this weekend? Let's talk to Brian, who's in Upper Darby. Hey, Brian.
Hey, how are you?
Good, buddy. What's on your mind?
So one thing I kind of fall back into, I work at the lake, and I think Seattle's type of team, if you're fourth down, you need to be opportunistic and take the points when you're fourth and four, I think it was. You can't just go for it twice back-to-back and expect to convert both times, but you're a chip shot away, and then Seattle goes three and out, and then you're looking to win the game. So I got I guess you can't just let that opportunity fly by. Fourth and four, or I think it was fourth and four, or fourth and eight. Those chances are, it's tough enough to get a fourth and one, but, I mean, if you're in field goal range and you don't take that opportunity against Seattle.
Yeah, here's the way I feel about that, Brian, and we talked about it a little bit last week. My perspective is this. Doug Peterson is an aggressive coach, and I'm not going to beat up Doug for coaching the way he has coached since he got here, which is he's going to push the envelope and he's going to try to score touchdowns. And I don't think it was the wrong decision. Just wasn't great results.
Yeah, and also not knowing McNown had the hamstring off the bone, that would kind of factor into, I guess, the decision to kick and then, put it on the defense. But I guess you can't knock them for kind of getting that far, but it's kind of unfortunate. I would actually even thought about putting Greg Ward in, if it was that bad.
Yeah, well, you know what? Yeah, here's the thing on that. I doubt Doug knew. I'm sure he knew that Josh had hurt himself a little bit because it was pretty obvious. But I doubt he knew the severity of it. I'm sure Josh McCown didn't know, and Brian appreciated the severity of it because that may have impacted a little bit. But here's the thing. They lost. The Eagles weren't as good as the Seahawks last week. Could that game be different if they had a little bit different, play here, play there? Yeah, but once Carson went down, the writing was on the wall there. They were not going to win that football game unless McCown was heroic, and he almost was. But as far as moving forward, the question is, how do they get back to where they are now? And there's two paths. The Eagles and Howie Roseman last week did allude to the idea they have to get younger. But there's two paths to this. You can either rebuild, which, effectively means you're taking a year off from Super Bowl contention. They've been in it 3 years in a row. Or you're going for it. And that comes with some risk because you're pushing the envelope. You're pushing the build down the line. Because at some point, they do have to turn the roster over. I just don't want to punt on free agency. I don't want to punt on acquiring impact players. And I don't want to punt on the idea the Eagles can make a run next year. I don't believe they're that far off from these teams that we just watched. 888-729-9494. Let's talk to Mike in Westchester. Hey, Mike.
What's up, Joe? How you been?
Good, Mike. What's up, buddy?
Hey, Joe, Peterson and that offense and that coaching staff better change their play calling, because this league is not going to be a 40 or 50 pass yard league, passing team league anymore. You see how teams are having success now with game managers. They need to change. It's simple as that.
Well,
I mean, I think he has that talent, though.
Yeah, I mean, look what the Titans have done 2 weeks in a row. I mean,
exactly.
They just won two road playoff games. I don't think their quarterback is thrown for 100 yards in either game.
No, he hasn't. He beat New England throwing 80 yards. So, I mean, isn't that pretty evident that the league is – that's the way to win. Not the recipe success is not throwing the ball 50 times. And hopefully they get that. And I'm with you. I think they should retool. I'm not with Tucker. We're rebuilding. But I think they need to be smart, and Howie needs to finally do a good job. He hasn't done that in the last couple of seasons. His acquisitions have been really suspect, in my opinion. The signings, you know.
You know what he needs to do? He needs to hit a home run. Like, he's hit some home runs in free agency. Yeah, he does. And Mike, I always appreciate it. But Howie's hit some free agent home runs over the years. Malcolm Jenkins, home run. Brandon Brooks was a home run. Ronnie McLeod was a really nice signing when they got him. He needs one or two of those this year. I don't know who the players are. I mean, Byron Jones, we were talking before the show, potential corner from the Cowboys. I'm not sure who they are, but they need one or two of those guys. And then they hit in the draft, and I think they're going to be a real contender next year, assuming the quarterback's healthy.
Yeah, and those moves, those home run moves, are usually guys you've never even heard of. They're guys that fan base likes.
Yeah,
someone like Brandon Brooks, so I think many people didn't even hear of. And then you sign him and go, oh, wow, that guy actually is pretty good. He develops into the top guard in football.
It's probably not Amari Cooper.
No, it's not Amari Cooper. It's not Tom Brady or someone you've heard of. It's got to be an under-the-radar guy you can get for a relatively team-friendly contract.
Here's what I'll say about the as far as Carson being a game manager or what we watched this weekend. Look, we did see the Chiefs win by scoring 51 points, and Mahomes threw them back in the game. We saw Lamar Jackson go down and then have one of the great yardage games of all time, even though I don't think he even really played well on Saturday night. Then we watched Tannehill win two games in a row, 100 yards. Here's what I have always believed the best teams are. The ability to do either. The ability to, when you have to throw the football, you throw the football. But the ability also to grind out wins and games. You know, that's how playoff games are won. That's how Ben Roethlisberger's won a whole bunch of playoff games. How Joe Flacco won a whole bunch of playoff games. It's not always you have to throw for 400 yards. But you also have to have a team that can do either. And I think the Eagles know that. And I think they play like that. I think we overstate sometimes. The Eagles don't run the ball enough. I mean, the Eagles have been one or two in time of possession every year since Doug got here. And I think in three of the 4 years, they've been top 10 in rushing attempts. Like, they do run the football. I think in the moments that we say, oh, there goes Doug again, not running the ball, we forget that and we just kind of put that label on them. I don't think that they are a team that doesn't understand that. But I watched the four games this week, and I watched the four losers, four winners, and I don't believe the Eagles are that far away. I don't want to rebuild. I don't want to tear it down. I don't want to take a step back. The Eagles have a good quarterback who's cheap still, relatively compared to other quarterbacks for a year. He's healthy right now, which, quite frankly, none of us know if he will be, 4 years from now or 3 years from now. I don't know how his career is going to go, but I know I have a healthy Carson going into the offseason. I have a window to win with some veterans that probably will be done in a year or two. Fletcher Cox is 30. How many more years at a high level? One, two? I don't want to I believe the Eagles have one more year of this window. And they have to start thinking about the next window, but I don't want to do it quite yet. 888-729-9494. I want to go for it. Tucker wants a rebuild. You watched the four games this weekend. Let's talk about it. 888-729-9494, #9494. That is how you hop in. We'll come back. Your phone calls, rebuild or go for it for the Eagles in 2020. We'll take your phone calls coming up. Joe Giglio with you, Sports Radio 94 WIP.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.